What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that knows you could get killed walking your doggy. Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that's got a great ass and you got your head up in it.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that had to get it on, man. He was making a move. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Good, I forgot my own name there for a sec. Yeah, very well, and you?
I do, I'm well.
Fucking wonderful to hear it,
as though. You may have inferred from my excited intro there, Andy. We're talking about 1995's Heat, directed by Michael Mann, starring Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Dennis Haysbert, Val Kilmer, Tom okay. Sizemore, William Fichtner,
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, sure. Ashley Judd, Amy Brenneman, John Voight, Jeremy Piven. Yeah, he was in it, man. We're getting down and dirty. And of course, Wayne Grove.
Yeah. Of course.
Care to guess the budget?
95.
Hank Azaria was also in it.
Oh, yeah. 95.
Wes Studi.
All right.
Michael T. Williams.
I'm going to say, just going to talk over you, $50
million. $60
million. Okay.
Opening weekend?
$30
million. $8
million. Whoa.
Domestic total?
$115 million.
$67 million. Worldwide total
215
million. 187 million. Is this more you than the movie?
Well, that didn't do great then, did it?
That's a triple multiplier there, my friend. Okay, okay. You know, started off slow, had the legs.
Yeah. Okay.
Zero Oscar nominations. Yeah, you believe it? Okay.
I feel like I'll give my hand away if I comment on that.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics
all agreed.
86 83. It's where I pull them back.
Oh yeah, I know. This is your safety net. Audience score.
Okay, I'm gonna say it's a much beloved movie. I'm gonna say it's even higher, but it is divisive a little bit. I'm gonna just go higher. I'm gonna say 92
94 Now, can you get the cherry on top?
Oh my god,
give me what you got. Give me what you got.
Is that the line? Or is it what do you got? There's definitely a what do you got in it.
Give me what you got.
No, there's a what do you got as well. Mm-hmm. What do you got? What do you got?
He said, give me what you got.
I'm telling you.
When he's in the junkyard.
No, I'm talking about when he's in the office or whatever. Like, what do you got?
Oh, to Hank Azaria?
Yeah.
All right. Where'd I get involved with that bitch?
What was the other one?
Rotten Tomatoes, 88 heist movies of all time. Where does it rank in the chart?
I would say 20.
44.
Ooh.
I think it goes by the percentage. That's how it's just ranked.
Like an automatic?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Right.
Because like the Pelham 1-2-3 is like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not really.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good
it's
movie.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Care for some interesting facts?
I would love some interesting facts.
Michael Mann wrote the script for Heat in 1979.
Ooh.
It was based on a real-life Chicago police officer, Chuck Adamson, in his pursuit of criminal Neil McCauley. So these are real guys.
Right.
And originally, the script was developed for a TV pilot. It's called L.A. Takedown in 1989, but it was not picked up the series. The two actors, they didn't like the two actors, the main actor actually playing the Hannah.
TV company didn't like him.
Yeah, and they said, you know what? Because like he had done Miami Vice. Like Michael Mann was the executive producer and creator of Miami Vice.
We'll
go with a series if you get rid of the main guy. And he was like, no dice. So he made it into a TV movie.
Did he have any involvement in the movie Miami Vice?
He directed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a good movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he said no, fuck that. So then he stuck with it. So they made the movie of it.
Good for him.
It was not well received, and it was a 90-minute TV movie. Like, but it was like, you can see.
So we tried to make this movie already?
Yeah, in 1989.
Oh.
Yeah. After the success of Last of the Mohicans, Mann's...
What's that got to do with it? Well, you do that?
Mann's previous film, yeah.
Michael Mann?
Yeah.
Did Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have put him in that.
No, he's good.
He's an enigma.
That's his highest grossing movie, adjusted for inflation even. Last of the Mohicans. Right. It's his most successful movie.
I've never seen it.
It's really good. Yeah. Really fucking good.
I think it used to be my dad's favourite movie back in the day.
Yeah. Really good. Mann decided it was time to take another crack at LA Takedown and abandoned his earlier plan to shoot a James Dean biopic. So that was on the shelf, and he figured he had enough sway to maybe go with this again.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro was the first actor to get the script, and after reading the diner scene, he loved it. Ooh. He was able to get it into the hands of Al Pacino, and they were both Mann's first.
De Niro was able to get it into the hands of Pacino.
Yeah, but they were both like Mann's first choice for the the roles. And the two of them agreeing to sign on basically got the film greenlit, along with Mann.
So you would, wouldn't you?
It was like back then, it was like these two mega star actors.
Yeah.
Like they're on. Yeah, it's like, yeah, so I've already got these two attached. They're like, yeah, sure.
That's all we need.
What do you need? Like,
say
you know?
No more.
Mann was adamant that he wanted to show an authentic side of LA. In fact, fewer than 10 of the filming locations in the movie had never been shot on location before. Film.
Say that again.
So fewer than 10 of the locations in this movie had never been shot on film in like movie history before. So
I would have thought that's more common. Or is there certain areas that like always get used in films? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but LA.
LA is big. Like surely there's loads of places they film people film in LA that have never been filmed before. Am I understanding it right?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually quite surprised because you would think, oh, well, they're obviously going to film, you know, Sunset Boulevard. Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So he was like, no, we're going to film at the fucking train tracks or we're going to, you know, in this intersection here or whatever.
Okay.
Mann brought on Andy McNabb. Do you remember him?
Nope.
He was a, like, secret army soldier. he's a guy who wrote a bunch of books. He's an SAS sergeant, but he was like, basically, you never seen any of his books? Like he wrote the, like
Bravo 2-0,
possibly. You know, like I always remember in Spaced, he's like, "I'm Andy McNabb." He's in his head. He's like, "I'm Andy McNabb. I'm Andy McNabb. I'm Andy McDowell." No shit. But like he's an authority on being in the army. He was their weapons advisor, and he said for the actors, he took them on 3 months. Training using live ammunition before switching to blanks for like
say Val Kilmer finished top of the class.
Well, so Val Kilmer, I'm gonna skip ahead the moment that he rapidly changes his magazine and the gunfight down.
That's what I'm talking about.
It is regularly shown to Marine recruits as an example of how to perform the action properly. He said it's one of his proudest achievements.
Brilliant.
I think that is
I actually know the exact thing where he's shooting in front and he shoots at the back and then he runs out, shoots and starts going again.
Fucking incredible. I was thinking that,
I'm like, look, I'm fucking Kilmer, go.
Mann took De Niro, Kilmer, and Sizemore to Folsom to interview some career criminals to prepare for their roles.
Right.
Back to Folsom, remember in Thief as well? He spent time there and stuff. He's a authentic man.
There was definite similarities I found between
a lot of
Thief
his movies.
And this.
There's a through line through a lot of his movies, like Thief, this, Collateral, that it's like these kind of precision career criminal men, like, you know, they like do things a certain way.
Not sloppy criminals.
Mann carefully placed microphones around the filming locations for the big shootout, so the audio from the gunfire could be recorded live rather than dubbing it in. Mm. That's why it sounds the way it does.
Yeah, like there's cannons firing.
Fucking hell. Like. And the film was shot entirely on location without a single soundstage.
Good.
Used green screen only once for the scene with Robert De Niro and Amy Brenneman when they're on the top.
Oh, yeah. I actually know the exact scene.
Yeah. So, like, part of it looks great. And then when it's the side shots, it looks very green screen.
I thought that
but
too.
But they're on location, but it's...
Yeah.
And finally, Al Pacino has said his performance of Vincent Hanna was him playing it as if he had a cocaine addiction and was high for a lot of the movie.
Yeah, that tracks.
It certainly does.
It's the most Pacino performance.
Well, it's the most Pacino that you...
It's the Pacino that I know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Al Pacino walked on set and took no notes from anyone and just read the lines as he felt they should be delivered. But it kind of worked, you know.
Let's just get to it. What do you think?
Okay. I really enjoyed it.
Really enjoyed it?
Look, what do you want?
I fucking loved it.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
I feel like you're holding back on me.
I am a little because I expected to like it more than I did.
Wow.
Very long, obviously.
Do you think it feels long?
Yes.
Though?
Do you? Yeah.
Wow. I do not.
I thought, do you know what? Like, here's a bold statement.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because I was watching it and I kept comparing it to Thief. I was like, oh, that's quite like the character in Thief, or that's quite like that shot in Thief, or whatever. I think that I think Thief is a better movie, Michael Mann's Thief.
Mm-hmm.
I think the highs are much higher in Heat, but I think as a package, as a full presentable movie, I think Thief is a better movie.
Wow. Many people are saying this.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. My man.
Look at me.
So like the rewatchables,
yeah.
You know that podcast?
Yeah.
Their first ever episode is Heat.
Yeah.
And they've done like the reheat and the reheat when they've done it live in London, I think.
Right.
And you know, it's Chris Ryan and Bill Simmons. And a lot of times they'll have Sean Fennessy on. And I was listening to their episode on Thief, and it was like, he's not as big as Thief guy, Heat guy. He's more of a Thief guy when it comes to Michael Mann.
Oh, so is there like a division of are you Heat or are you Thief?
You're going to be both, but like you can be both more one than the other. Like,
I think there was a lot of... I do think Heat didn't... I couldn't tell you what I'd cut, but I think Thief, or I think Heat is too long.
Hmm.
And I think they nail it in Thief.
Wow.
Whereas if Heat didn't have De Niro and Pacino, I wouldn't like it half as much as I do.
Yeah, but that's
it is
for that's, any great so, movie. It's kind of like
you can't say if it wasn't for the plot, the score, the soundtrack, and the great acting.
If Die Hard didn't have Bruce Willis in it, like if Die Hard's Arnold Schwarzenegger,
you know what?
It's not as good.
But you know what? My problem is that I still don't think you're getting. Do you know what? I was looking at the general reviews of Heat, and I seen one perfect description that I thought I actually agree with that. It's like tuning a Maserati whatever to be the pace setter at the Philadelphia parade. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like you have these two big fucking, you know, and don't get me wrong, we'll talk about it. Pacino goes big in it, and I love the way that he's big, and De Niro so calm.
I like medals.
Yeah, and lady, I like all that.
What do you want from me, lady?
I still think if you're getting them both together, I wanted more from them together, definitely.
Oh, that's the magic. You gotta
keep
them apart.
Yeah, but that much for that long.
Yeah,
I kind of thought. But the movie itself.
I'll talk about it.
The movie itself, I thought was. This might sound harsh, like not. I thought it was a little unremarkable. The movie.
Wow.
But I thought there were certain highs, huge highs, huge. That's fucking brilliant. That's a fucking great scene. Or like, look at them fucking there.
That's what makes it remarkable. There
is loads
stuff.
Of that. But I think if they had better material to work with, it could have been a Goodfellas or a, you know. I was kind of going in expecting this to already be at the top echelon of like. And as soon as it started, I'm like, okay, you've got mid-90s. I'm seeing Black Sky with those helicopters with the lights shining down.
Incredible.
You know, I'm like, fucking, that's as 90s as it gets. I'm like, yes. Yeah, all this shit. And I'm like, fucking, here we go. And we have De Niro and Pacino. And I'm like, there's Tom Sizemore. There's Val Kilmer. There, you know, all this. So as we're going in, I'm like, And I was just... I was never let down, but I was just, and I was never bored, so I can't say I didn't enjoy it. I think I just had such high expectations, and I think I hoped that it would be, you know, not necessarily a Tarantino dialogue, but just someone who's given me more than sort of boilerplate dialogue, barring
Pacino.
I'll talk about that now, but like, yeah, barring, because I even thought like, I thought their diner scene was great, and we could talk about that. But in general,
big scores.
You know, I kind of thought they go into detail, or not detail, but they go into like, okay, what's Val Kilmer's little side relationship, and what's this?
For me, the sunrise and setter, man.
Yeah, but still, I kind of thought that was a little bit clunky. Anyway, like if you're gonna make the movie longer, and you're gonna include these little side things. Even they didn't have the... I didn't feel...
You get a payoff. You get a good payoff. You get the bit at the end.
Yeah, I mean... I kind of thought, like, you could have cut all the relationship-y stuff out, I kind of thought.
I disagree. Because
or 80% of it, you know?
You need it because it informs the two characters. Al Pacino, he's like, my life is a war zone.
Yeah.
You know?
And that explains why he's the way he is. He's obsessed.
And, like, there's a scene with John Voight. He's like, three marriages. He's not staying home on the weekends, you know? Like, so you need that stuff, I think. And to show, like, because there's bits where he's like, they're at a party and he's with his wife and he's like, kissing her and it looks disgusting. These two later in life lesbians are kissing each other. But then, you know, he has to go or whatever like that. Like, and she's still waiting there when he gets back and he's like, you know, I would say, you know what, if I was to cut out one thing.
Yeah.
From it's not even going to trim it that much. The Wayne Grove is a serial killer subplot. You could kind of, you know, you can see that's the vestige of this is going to be a plot line in the TV series.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could kind of maybe remove that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
because I don't know if he's but that I guess you need it for the end because it's kind of like
no, but you don't need the scene where he's like you're meeting with the Grim Reaper, you know.
Yeah, you don't need that. But you want him to be
this the fifth one this week, you know.
But you want him to be a piece of shit. So,
but he is a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit before that. You know what I mean?
Like, true. Yeah, yeah.
And like he fucking ratted out. It's his fault that all this shit is happening.
Yeah.
So that's why De Niro fucking gets off.
Yeah.
Like that's. He gets off more shooting Wayne Grove than he does shooting loads into Amy Brenneman. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and you know what? I loved, like, there's little bits, like, do you know where he's telling your man, before he shoots Wayne Grove and he shoots your man, and he's like, where is he? Yeah, it's like, how would I know? Just straight away.
That's fine. Like,
yes! I fucking love, like, I'm not even wasting any time.
That's De Niro.
Tell me!
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, where is he? Like, he's like, how do I know?
Because he knows he's lying.
I'm not even wasting my time with him.
And it's like...
A lot of similarities between him and James Caan's character.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, pretty much...
Similar, very similar. Like, trying to go... But the difference... is that James Caan's character is like
he was state raised,
and he's kind of, you know, like, let's get on with this romance,
it's like big romance,
you know. He's less about he's like anything. He's like, let's just cut the shit, just tell me, you know. Even the way he robs diamonds, it's just very clinical and very, I feel like I'm spitting on you, sorry, just it's very like clinical and very like just no fuss, no mess, I'm good at what I do, I'm in, I'm out sort of thing. And I really like that aspect of the heist.
Yeah,
you know?
And that, De Niro's guys have that as well. Like, you know,
I would have liked, I guess, more.
Yeah, they really only give you two heists and a aborted one.
Yeah,
but like that for me, like if you let's go through it at the start. You know, you get the De Niro. I kind of actually forgot how he steals the ambulance at the start. Just walks in.
Yeah,
doesn't touch anything with his hands.
Yeah.
Presses the thing, gets in the ambulance and drives off. And I was like, how fucking cool.
Slick.
Yeah, and then Tom Sizemore picks up Wayne Grove. Come on, slick.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kilmer's buying fucking explosives or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're into the fucking armored car heist. Yeah. And what is great is, you know, at the drop, as Pacino says, at the drop of a hat, these guys are rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
Because Wayne Grove fucking kills the guy. Yeah. Fucking idiot.
I know.
He had to get it on though. Your man was making a move.
Yeah, yeah.
And then with the little nod, I don't know if you noticed that, where it's like Kilmer looks to, like, two of them are dead.
Yeah.
And one of them is there, and like Kilmer looks at him, he just gives him a little nod. Like,
yeah.
Puts three bullets in him. And like Pacino says, and afterwards, like, can't leave a witness for murder one, beef.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Just that's the clinical efficiency of like, well, we're already in it.
Yeah.
Can't leave a loose end.
Yeah.
Even though your man didn't do anything and probably couldn't see anything.
Yeah, but straight away,
why take the chance?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like,
there was a lot of... What I appreciated was the visceralness of you're in it, you know, you're in LA. And I think Michael Mann's movies, I thought actually Thief
Chicago,
it was 81. I thought Thief looked way better than
did
this.
You?
Like the world looked stunning in Thief. And this one, it looked great because it was all on location. And you get a lot of, it's maybe a Michael Mann kind of effect where you have like that blurred LA lights behind them in the dark sort of stuff. There's a lot of that and I like all that. And
a lot more daytime though in
Heat. There is a lot more daytime in Heat. But even like, it's proper, like if they're shot, there's blood splattering and their dead face. Like,
love it,
it's
man.
Not like just a little, you know,
big
and they're gone. It's like, no, there he is. And here's
hollow points.
Yeah, like, and here's 5 seconds on his dead body before he move on to the rest of the movie. Like,
and like the scene when they're in the diner. And like, it just even how slickly they do this where it's like, De Niro's like, I gotta take a piss.
Yeah.
And like, gets up and then.
He's boxing
Wayne Grow in.
Yeah, yeah.
And like fucking slams the head on the thing. And like just Sizemore with the look.
Yeah.
I was like, I fucking shit my pants if this guy is looking at me like that.
I know.
And you know, it's good because then they're like, well, they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
And the fucking cop shows up or whatever and he ends up getting away. And that's and that's the kind of loose thread. And like, you know, I've read a lot of books like written by cops or like written by journalists about cops.
Yeah.
And they kind of say these things like, oh, somebody called hearing like Slick as a nickname, like that broke the case. You know what I mean?
Right,
like something as stupid as that. He's like the luckiest things.
Yeah.
Like, or like fucking Wayne Grove not getting killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is kind of the thing that brings them all down eventually. Like,
do you know what? When I was watching it, Kerry watched it with me for a little bit. And so she was kind of about an hour in and she watched maybe a half an hour. And she was like, so Pacino's part, she only seen Pacino at that dinner party thing with all the people. She's like, so Pacino's like trying to ingratiate into the mob or something. It's like, no, he's, like, so he's the cop.
Internal affairs knew they were setting them up.
And she was like, she said afterwards, because I told her I'd finished it and all this, she's like, I thought it was all right, but she's like, I thought Pacino should have been the De Niro character and De Niro. And I said, no, because I disagreed too, because I was like, you need Pacino to be that obsessed, like, this is my whole purpose.
He's still like, trying.
My relationship suffers, my everything else suffers, my health suffers, but I'm obsessed with catching these guys.
But like,
so he needs to be like, oh!
And the fact that it's like, I got a dead body, I got 3 dead bodies on the sidewalk of Ventura Boulevard. I'm sorry, the chicken is a little cold.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like
someone put a baby in a microwave.
You know, what, you want to talk about it? Like, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, but the great thing about his character is he's still trying. Like, this is his third wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's not like
giving up.
He's not like Neil, where he's like, I'm dead inside.
Yeah, I'm a lone wolf.
Yeah, he's like, I do it because I'm good. And that's it. And, you know, I walk away, never be afraid to, you know, put
walk away
in
if
30
you,
seconds if you feel the heat coming around the corner.
I love that line.
Yeah. Like, incredible.
Yeah.
Like, but, so it's, I don't think it works if it goes the other way.
No, I don't think so.
Pacino's too fiery, you know what I mean?
And you need him to be, you need the whole point of it is like the criminal is a smooth, like, efficient sort of operation. Why is Pacino like that in this?
What do you mean?
So dialed up, like, caricature Pacino.
Here's the thing.
Why is that?
So he won the Oscar for Scent of a Woman in 92, I think. And it was like, he had the fucking incredible 1970s. Not really. It's hoo-ha.
Yeah. That's all I know.
That's hoo-ha.
That's all I know, but I don't know.
But they gave him the Oscar. Right? They didn't give it for Godfather. They didn't give it for Godfather 2.
Right.
You know,
it was one of those like, oh, he's paid his dues.
And it's also like a weaker field and, you know, it's Al Pacino. But it was like, he kind of didn't really act in the 80s. And then every time he did come back with a movie, it kind of bombed.
So he acted in the 70s for...
10 years. Like, they're talking about like one of the best runs ever in the 70s. Like, Dog Day Afternoon, Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Serpico.
Right.
A few other great ones in there as well.
And did he actually act in the 80s or he just wasn't that big?
Did act, but he was like, you know, 5 years between movies. Like, took a lot of time off.
So he didn't, like, dip. He just chose not to do it for
Then the movies that he did pick were like, oh, you chose this one?
Yeah.
Like, you know...
The '80s was a crazy time for all mediums, wasn't it? Like, it really
so
was.
When he came back, and then like you know, he won for like nine. I think 91 or 90 is Godfather 3,
right?
And then like he wins in 92 for Son of a Woman.
Okay,
and then it was kind of like, oh, like I went big, and it's okay to go big. They like big. Like, they got me an Oscar for big, and then it's like, it's like that. The dam has burst at Son of a Woman. Then this is the one that's like never comes back.
Like this is the Pacino that that you would do impressions of. Like 100%. This is the, and I didn't realize that's where like, you know, what do you got? Or
tell me what you got.
Tell me what you got. Or you know,
I just had coffee with my colleague half an hour ago.
Yeah, like I don't get it. It's like, you think he's,
it's incredible.
I mean, it's a tour de force. It's and incredible. That's what kept me, it kept me so like, I could not look away. Yeah. And I was never bored when
Pacino. Kill walking your doggy.
Yeah, because it's just so fucking like unhinged. Like he'd be delivering a line, and then they go up like this, and then he might cocaine, do it in a right? sing-song sort of thing.
Well, then he becomes Cajun. Hey,
So was he deliberately portraying it as this character has a coke problem?
Yeah,
like that's deliberately what he says. Chosen.
That's what he says. Now I don't know if that's after the fact revisionist on his part.
Yeah.
But he's going big.
And he's going fucking big.
And it's incredible.
Like, it is great. Like, but it's so, like, even the scene, can we talk about the great ass?
Yeah.
I'm so.
Your head, hop in it.
It is fucking. So, first
Hank
of all.
Hank Azaria, by the way, that was improvised, that line.
Was it?
And Hank Azaria, like, the look on his face is, like, genuinely shocked.
Because it looks like he's going to say big ass. Because he's like, she got a great ass. Like, his mouth is moving for big ass. And then he changes it. You got. And the scene, there's a still
hop
shot.
In it.
There's a still shot I see on Twitter a lot where he's talking. It's that delivery of like, your head all up in it. But there's a still shot where his eyes are like, it's the funniest still shot I think from any movie. Of just like, it just sums him up in that movie where it's just wide eyed, open mouth, just, you know. But I just fucking, I mean, it was, I was laughing. I was laughing.
It's incredible. Like, but there's some really, like, even the subplots. Like I've watched this film so many times, but like I have a new more as I get older, like the appreciation for the John Voight performance.
Yeah,
I actually think it's really good.
It's actually very good. He always looks like pure shit.
Well,
this
is the thing, right?
Why?
So like if you look at John Voight in the 70s and 80s, he kind of was like, you know, cherub faced, and he was a, you know, blonde haired, blue eyed boy.
Yeah.
And, like, and then this is his first wide release movie in 10 years,
right?
Like Runaway Train, I think is 1985. Hadn't had a movie in 10 years.
Right.
I think it's his first movie in 5 years. Like,
right.
And basically, he's back then after this. It's this Anaconda and Mission Impossible are next year.
Right.
Fucking, he's off to the races.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
He's back in a, you know, Enemy of the State is like 98.
Right,
you know?
Right.
He's Transformers is a little bit after. You know, he's kind of we're back in it. But you forget, I think he's really, really good in this. Like, just understated.
Yeah, very.
You know, like, you ask me, so I'm going to tell you. He's here, you know, he's in Hotel Marquis under the name Jameson.
Yeah.
You know,
he was quite, I don't know if captivating is the word, but he was very, like, I couldn't look away.
But I love the whole thing where he's like, they're selling the bonds back to your man, Van Zandt.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's a setup, like, straight away when he's, like, tossing the thing in. He reverses the car over the guy, like, ah!
Yeah.
And then, like, Val Kilmer's, like, with the scope.
Yeah.
And then De Niro is, like, driving.
Yeah, that was great. I love the way De Niro just shoots right out the front of the windshield.
Yeah, like,
as
he's
well.
Just, like, bouncing on the thing. And then, you know, what's also great about it is, like, you know, he knows that, like, Chris and his wife are having trouble.
Yeah.
He's on the phone to Van Zandt, and he's like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. He's like, why? He's like, because there's a dead man on the other end of this phone. And like, hangs it up.
Yeah.
And then while he's doing that, he's also keeping tabs on the wife.
Yeah.
So then he's straight over, he's fucking double duty, you know, straight over to her. And he's like, look, you needed to keep it together. I'll pay you fucking £1 million almost. Like, if he does it again, you take Dominic or whatever, you're gone.
Yeah.
But like, that's just, again, like, ruthless efficiency. Like, she's like, he beats me, you know, he's not
Yeah.
He's not good for me or whatever. He's like, look.
Yeah.
we have this one big score, 12 million or whatever like that, yeah, coming on.
Low eight figures.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get like the Dennis Haysbert, you know.
Who's that?
He's the chef, the line cook.
Huh?
The black guy. He's like the line cook.
Oh, yeah. And he's like,
You know, former con trying to go straight.
Yeah.
And then like the fucking asshole boss.
Yeah.
Like that, you could.
See, I kind of think they could have cut that.
I kind of think that too. But then it's also like, it pays off because it's like the wife, like all this shit, all this shit that the robbers are doing and all that. It's like, oh, they actually affect
other people's lives. Yeah.
Like when Pacino says, but if it's between you and some poor guy that you just made a widow of his wife, I'm going for you, you know? Like, I will not stop.
It's like, I thought that as well when he died and you see like the group around or whatever like that. It's like Pacino where it's like what was it, like the news is here. It's like, what are they doing here?
But like,
you know, but
another bit just before we get to the big shootout. Like,
yeah, so I was gonna ask.
What's great about it is,
what's so great about it?
The criminals are clever.
Yeah,
like they know, like
they're
professional. Pacino, like they, you know, when they're doing like the fucking the break in. Him and Kilmer, and he just hears like that, like boom.
Yeah.
And they, like they have the eyes on
them. Yeah, I love
that. And he's like, he knows, like, we walk. He's like, I'm almost here. He's like, we walk.
And then I like the fact that he's straight away like, okay. Yeah. You know, like he's not like, come on, I'm so close.
He's like, no, there's obviously a reason why. And
that
then,
was very thief like, because he's got that big fucking drill in him. That's what I was like, oh, that's fucking literally the same tool they used.
And then the next scene is like, they're like fooling the audience and they're fooling the cops. It's like, okay, so the getaways are this freeway and that freeway, blah, blah. And they get in the cars and then like Pacino and the lads show up. And they're like, well, what's around here? And he's like, well, that's a mineral plant.
I love that. And Pacino looking around.
And he's like, you know what? Is this crew something or is this crew something, huh? He's like, you know what they're looking at? He's like, the LAPD, motherfuckers. Yeah. We just got made. And it's like, they say like De Niro smiles like five times in the movie.
And that's one of them.
He's like, he has the telescopic lens. It's like,
and that's the first time when it's like, you know, De Niro's looking at him and he's looking around like, all right, you know, he knows.
Okay, motherfucker.
And De Niro smiles. And like, so that's the start of like, oh, there's a little mutual appreciation thing.
Well, that's
going
it. Like, you know, like, you know,
he appreciates De Niro's clever and De Niro's smiling like, yeah, I did get him.
Like,
you know?
Part of it is like, you know, Pacino's like, oh, finally I've got a match. And like, De Niro's almost like, I really appreciate that somebody knows how hard I work at this.
You know,
it's like, should I even put in this much effort? Like, you know,
it's like, all right, good.
Yeah,
my
you know what?
Work.
It's not all a waste of time. Yeah. Like, I get a lot out of it. And then, like, of course, you have the.
A lot of people say that this shootout scene is the best shootout scene in history.
It's incredible. It's like a fucking like actual war zone.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
brilliant.
The tactical way.
What a great. Sorry to cut across, but what a great decision to leave the audio from the gunfire.
Incredible.
Because like, I've seen something about it where they said it sounded so big on the day, and then when the guys went in and they, or it was Bill Hader, I think, I've been talking about it or something, and he was like, they actually, the editing guys tried to recreate it and it wasn't as good, so they just took it all out and just used the raw, like,
that's where he had it there. Like
just so like.
But like what's great about it is the, you know, they go in and they take down the bank quickly. And it's like, okay, they're gone.
Yeah.
And like fucking Tom Sizemore is like, fucking, you know, let's go, we did it, you know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He, and like Macaulay's there and like Kilmer's like
smiling as
and
he's walking through
like a turn on the
straight away. Like, that's what I loved about it as well, is that it's not like because you've got Kilmer smiling and then like, I'm just gonna get in the car and that's it, but then he doesn't even wait for the first shot. He's like, oh,
it's like,
you know,
does it, like he knows, but like, does he know, like, you know, like it could be mistaken that it was like somebody behind the fucking bus or whatever. And then it's like, it's on. And it's just like Ted Levine, you know, the guy, he had this guy and he put his hands together. Like, he's the guy with the mustache, you know, Buffalo Bill. Like, he like, put his hands together. Like, I remember when Kevin McGahan was on, he was like talking about that was all improv. And he's like, what? He's like, have you ever watched that movie? Like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, when they're at the dinner party. Like, he's like, he used to put his knuckles together and move their hands.
Sorry.
He's like, what do you do? But he gets killed, which is kind of, it's sad,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think. But the way that Pacino is just like, They know that these guys are like super armed, super dangerous, but they don't hesitate.
Yeah.
They're just in it as well. They're great, running.
You know, great running by Pacino in this. Because it's focused. It's like it's running, but his face is so locked in.
Yeah.
It's like his face doesn't even realize his body's running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where he's, it's not like, I'm going to look cool running here, or I'm going to whatever. It's like, whenever he's running, or when he's running at the end with the gun, whenever he's running with that big gun, he's just like, he's running full clip. Like, he's good.
Give me that acting, shotgun.
Running. Yeah. And just the Val Kilmer with the fucking clip and just shooting back and forth.
But like, even they're just like covering each other.
Yeah.
We're moving here. And we just like, we just need to get to the end of this block.
Yeah.
And we're away.
Because they seem so open. Like, it's not like they're like right behind the car and like shooting like this. It's like they're kind of just standing. But like,
One is drawing fire so the other one can move.
Yeah.
You know, and like, Kilmer gets shot, but him and De Niro get away.
Yeah.
And then you get fucking Sizemore in the fountain and the kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and like, Sizemore is really good in this.
Yeah, he is
good. You know, like, you get the,
I think he's great.
Yeah. You get the other like incredible line from him. For me, the action is the juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Does like 20 blinks. But it's like, they always talk about it. It's like, okay, he's stepping to De Niro. He's going toe-to-toe with De Niro here. He's going to deliver the line. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's
like De Niro's telling him, like, if I was you, I'd walk away. Yeah. And he's so offended that he's even said that.
No, you're on your own on this one. You got to choose.
Yeah.
You know? And Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
This is kind of what kicked his career
really
off big time. Yeah, because I think he'd been in, like, Desperado maybe just before this.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of...
Good movie.
Yeah. You like it?
At the time, I probably would hate it now, but I liked it. Yeah, I liked those.
Robert Rodriguez,
you know.
But then you get, you kind of, we talked about, you know, he kills Fichtner, and
I don't know the character names.
Fichtner is Van Zandt, you know, he's William Fichtner, the guy from Prison Break. And he kills Wayne Grow.
Yeah, yeah.
Also
satisfying.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you knew it was coming, you know, where he's scot-free.
So. What I love about it, actually, just on that, is when he gets the uniform.
Yeah.
He just walks in and you're like, he never looks uncertain.
No.
And that's why it works.
Yeah.
He walks in, he's like, oh yeah, they screwed up his order, whatever. Like that.
What room is
it? And he takes the thing and you're like, but like, I'd be like, if I saw this guy walking around the hospital,
you'd be like, okay, he's obviously an important guy, he's got somewhere to go.
Or he works here, he works in security or whatever he wouldn't be quite, he wouldn't be like, sorry, who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Who am I?
Whereas if they were looking around and they just stopped for a second, we're like, looking back, looking forward.
He does it that, yeah, it's always forward motion and, He is scanning, but it's not like obvious. Like,
it's like when we used to work in Centra and you'd be able to spot someone who's planned to
rob
take something. Because as soon as they walk in the door, they look at the tills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, okay. It's like anytime someone walks in and they're straight away like, you're like, okay,
watching out what's going on.
So it's like he had that sort of thing.
And I love, you know, he's with... It's great that he breaks his own rule. Because he's like, he's out. Go to Tahiti with your girlfriend, man. You're away. Godspeed. And then he's like, right or left. And he goes right.
Yeah.
Goes to kill Wayne Grow. And then she's in the car. And he leaves her there.
Yeah.
Presumably to be locked up, I'm guessing.
Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, she's like an accessory.
Yeah, but she's just sitting in a car. Like, they don't know who she is.
Pacino, he's talked about how he has a woman, you know, like, and she's parked there. You know, something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But then you have the big end scene.
Where it's just the two of them running.
I like how silent it is.
But like, I love how you're like, oh yeah, like De Niro is a mile or, you know, ahead of him pretty much. Like, you know. And like, in theory, I'm like, well, you'd never catch him. But then it's like, it's just so open.
Yeah.
That you have to like find somewhere, you know, you can't just keep running.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit that really struck me when he gets to the last, you know, the four boxes or whatever at the end. It's just really good direction. It cuts to De Niro's face, and then the camera cuts to the box, and you're like, oh, there's the top process, and he's like, no, oh, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
I
mean? It's just easy, but like,
and then that with the lights coming on when the planes are landing, and then back to darkness again, like really good tense, sort of, like it added to it, and I thought then when Pacino's there and you see De Niro peeking out, and I'm like, oh, De Niro's gonna get him, but then Pacino just turns away the real shadow, quick. Like, and the face Pacino has when he shoots him, it's like his lips are like pursed or something, yeah, where he's like, but his eyes are so like
bug eyes, yeah.
Similar, but like it's like double the face he made when he killed what's your man's name, Sizemore,
yeah, yeah,
you know, when he told the kid and stuff, and where he's just like, yeah. And he's just got that, like, he is, like, the adrenaline, everything, like, the sweat in his face, the bulging eyes, and his lips just, like, you know, after he sort of gets him. And I just love the way they even, like, sort of hold hands or something as, like, a mutual respect thing. I mean, we didn't even talk about the scene where they're in the diner.
Yeah.
And, like, just inject that into my veins, you know
what
I mean?
It's great. It is... It's not my favorite scene in the movie. It's incredible.
That, yeah, see, this is the thing. I think I loved it. It was one of my favorite scenes because he's just, finally, you have the two of them. Yeah. They could say, Anton, if they're both delivering it, I'll be interested. But that was, I thought, an example of, if that dialogue had just been a little bit...
I like the dialogue.
Slicker.
No, but I like the dialogue fine. Mm. I like it. It's good. It's really good. Where he's like, you know, my life's a mess. I'm on the downslope. We're passing each other, marriage, and then like De Niro's like, I do it. I'm good at it, you know. But if you got me boxed in, I will not hesitate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, you know,
there's the other side to that coin.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think the highs are higher, like
than that scene.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But you need that scene because it's the first time they've been on screen together.
Yeah, ever.
You know. It happens a few more times.
I just wish. Okay, it has happened a few more times. Yeah. I just kind of wish.
I mean, The Irishman.
Oh, yeah, of course. But even
they
that.
Wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare. Fucking incredible Pacino. Now, that's an incredible Pacino performance.
Do you think that's his best performance?
I don't know. His best performance is Godfather 2, probably. But, like, yeah, that's.
Since then?
Since Heat?
Since Godfather,
I mean, I think it's really underrated, the Irishman. Like, he was up for the Academy Award. He probably should have won for the supporting actor. I think he's really, really good.
Yeah,
you know,
they wouldn't dare.
And like, you get like a lovely like Moby.
Yeah.
Like, and I think
the driver thing.
No, when he's holding hands, it's like, you know, the outro song. That's like Moby.
I heard Moby also redid the song when he's driving through all the traffic.
Oh, right, okay.
And that mad intense music that Moby, that was a song, and then Moby did something to it and
because the score is, I can't think of the name, but he said he was inspired by Tangerine Dream, who did the score for Thief.
Right.
And The Keep as well, like, and it's like
the Thief score was better. Yeah.
But the score in this is pretty fucking good. Yeah. I think, like, you know.
But overall,
We didn't talk about Natalie Portman. The Natalie Portman scene. I forget about it every time I watch this movie. I've seen the movie fucking 15 times, and every time I'm like, okay, so we've got an hour left after the big shootout. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, and I was like, oh shit, Natalie Portman's gonna be in the bathtub in like 20 minutes.
Like, Pacino's giving up. He's like, they're gone. Bye bye. You know, like, and all this.
So long, motherfucker.
And then he's just going about, and the fact that he's taking his time and he's just getting into the shower. And then, like, when he opened the door, it actually made me out loud go, oh shit.
Yeah.
Where she's just in a pool of blood in the bath. I'm like, oh no.
But he's really good.
He's great.
Come on.
That's the one time he doesn't overact.
And there's a few times.
Well, it's not. I don't mean
like when he hugs the woman as well, whose daughter
has been killed
by Wayne Grove. Like, you're kind of like, oh, this is why he does it.
Yeah,
you know, this is why he is as fucked up as
he is. He's got a heart.
Yeah, he does. Whereas De Niro doesn't.
Okay,
so what rating?
Rating, I would give it a 8.5 out of 10.
Okay, that's good for you. It's a 10 for me. It's a 10.
Of course,
it's a different type of 10 to Out of Sight. You know, two tens.
Are we going to rank?
Yeah, well, let's do our other awards first. Okay. Ed Harris for Excellence in Acting.
Excellence in Acting. So, you know, at the time after watching it, I thought De Niro in particular was very good. I'm going to give it to De Niro in it.
I'm going to go Pacino.
Yeah.
I can't.
Pacino's great.
He's just.
Yeah, unhinged.
Yeah, no, but he's also, he's really fucking good.
Yeah, he's great.
Because there are the lower bits in it where he's like, you can bomb my wife, you can sit on my couch, you're not going to take my fucking TV.
But you cannot watch my TV. And the Daniel Plainview Award for Best Line Reading.
Daniel Day-Lewis Peachtree Dance Award for Best Line Reading. Take your pick, man. Like, you know.
She got a great ass. And go ahead. I'll put it.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
I think. You can get killed walking your doggy. Is one. For me, the action is the juice.
Yeah, it's good.
And Wayne Grow. I had to get it on, man. He's making a move. I got you at Macaulay half an hour ago. I'm going to go walking your doggy. Walking your doggy.
Yeah.
What you got? Tone Loke was in it as well. Like,
who?
Tone Loke.
Tone Loke. Yeah. Yes, man. Yeah. As soon as I seen him, I'm like, there he is. Yeah. In fact, it made me realize I should call you Tone Loke a lot more.
I'll take it.
You know what I mean? Your gun is digging into my hip.
The
rankings.
Yes. So, what do you got? You go first.
Okay. Now, this, again, is not based on the rankings that I gave at the time.
Yeah.
It's based on my
Your
memory.
Fields.
Yes, how I feel about them all now as a set.
Okay.
Number 8. It was 8, right?
Yeah.
Widows.
8?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't like it. Number 7. Mm-hmm. Out of Sight.
7. Whoa.
Number 6, Hell or High Water. Number 5, The Town. Number 4, The Taking of Pelham, 1, 2, 3. Number 3 was Ocean's 11. Number 2 was Heat. And number 1 was Thief.
One was Thief.
I think
wow.
so. Even though I probably ranked it like a 6 at the time.
I think you gave an 8 or something like that. Yeah. But it's grown in estimation.
Yes.
That makes me very happy, Andy. You know, I have to say.
I didn't expect that. I thought when you when I seen this next one.
I was like, that's going to be his bottom.
So I thought too.
When I was doing the whole thing.
What are we doing here? Yeah. And then I was like, I watched it and I was like, you know what? I locked in when I was watching it. And the score, the cinematography. James Caan being a cool motherfucker, just a different kind of heist movie. You know what I mean?
Like
it would actually play out. You know what I mean? Like the actual real heist. You know, but that's me.
Okay.
What about you?
Number 8 is The Town.
Oh,
and these are all, by the way, extremely good.
Yeah.
Movies. Number 8 is The Town. Number 7 is Hell or High Water.
Ooh.
Number 6 is Widows.
Okay.
Number 5 is Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Number 4 is Pelham 1, 2, 3.
Uh-huh.
Number 3 is Teef. Number 2 is Out of Sight. Number 1 is Heat.
Number 2 Out of Sight.
It's a 10, man. It's a
Over
10.
Over Teef and Pelham.
Yeah, it's a 10. For me, I love it. It's one of my favourite movies.
Is it?
It's incredible.
Out of Sight.
Yeah. We don't know what we had. We don't know what we had with these movies, man. I miss them. I want more of them. They don't make them. Like,
it's just such a...
It's a warm blanket
it's
for me.
It's such
man.
A like.
It's your.
It's not even a B movie. It's like a C
what
movie.
You do? I love it. I just love seeing Clooney on screen.
No one more
with
than
fucking
me.
Jennifer Lopez, man. Yeah. Like you know, it's you
okay.
know, incredible.
So, what was your number one? Heat.
Heat number one.
All right.
So, as of now, okay. I think the polls close tonight or tomorrow. So as of now...
I mean, it'll close by the time you hear this.
It's a dead heat. It's a dead heat, right?
Oh.
If it stays that way, judge's decision...
So it's currently locked between...
2007 and 2019.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the call.
Okay.
If it stays locked, we're going to go with 2007.
Okay.
Right? Do you want to hear what we have on the docket for it?
Okay.
We got No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
Best Picture winner that year.
Okay.
We got Michael Clayton, more Clooney.
Okay.
We have The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, more Brad Pitt.
Yeah, what's the runtime on that one?
That's a long one. That's like, but it's not as long as I remember. It's like
someone specifically said, like, I can't wait to see Andy's reaction.
It's shorter than Heat. So okay. Like, it's like 2:45. We got Zodiac.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Finchman.
Okay.
We got Sunshine by Danny Boyle. Have you seen that movie?
Nope. Oh, with...
Cillian Murphy?
No, I haven't
Chris
seen
Evans?
It. I haven't seen
That's
it.
That's good. We got one of my faves. Gone Baby Gone.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Be prepared.
I don't remember it really, but I've seen it.
I'm putting it on there for you. We're gonna do Ocean's 13.
Okay, great.
And then we're going to do a comedy, one of the last great comedies, in my opinion. And it's like 90 minutes.
What is it?
Hot Rod.
Oh, no.
Yes, Andy.
Hot Rod.
Yeah.
What a disgrace.
Here's the cast. Here's the cast.
I know the cast.
Here's the cast.
Just like the cast of Talladega Nights was great. That was shite as well.
Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, Danny McBride.
Ding.
Yeah. The other two guys from The Lonely Island. Ian McShane.
What?
It's fucking good.
I think I turned it off after 20 minutes. Back in 2007.
We're doing it.
All right. Okay.
It meets your criteria. A comedy under 90 minutes.
Let's hope someone somewhere. Do you know what? One of those votes is me. I'll just untick my 2007 vote.
I got the power.
Then, I'll take it right back.
It's a good list, okay?
Okay, well, look, I have this reaction for every list.
Yeah, so, and you're like, oh, these are good movies.
So we'll just get into it. But
you like serial killers, don't you?
Love them.
Yeah, Zodiac.
All right. Perfect. Great. Yeah. Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal, Downey Jr., Ruffalo, Anthony Edwards, Andy.
Don't know who that is.
Goose.
Oh, he's nothing to me.
He's
nobody.
Incredibly good in Zodiac. And then you got, okay. Then you got like 50 other incredible supporting cast.
Okay.
You know, Brian Cox makes a little appearance.
Well, folks, it could either be 2019 or 2007. The power really is in your hand. If you voted for another year, untick your vote and vote for one of those. And have your actual say heard. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We love you here. Big L from me behind the paywall.
Big L here.
Very excited to get started on our next mini-series. Yeah.
Thank you so much for the support on this mini-series. And this was a lot of fun. And I'm glad I finally got to see Heat.
Yeah.
I'm excited. But
it was a great pod. And you got your ears all in it.
Okay. Yeah. Goodbye.